Hey, welcome to the Everything SEO podcast. I'm Michaela, a stay-at-home mom of three who just happens to be in love with everything related to SEO, blogging, marketing, coffee, and we're shedding light into the many mystifying corners of search engine optimization and what that means for us service providers, small business owners, and bloggers. We're going to ditch the do-it-all narrative surrounding SEO and really sit down and craft strategies that are sustainable, but still get us those first page results. Now let's get cozy, grab your fave sweater and a cup of tea, and let's talk everything SEO. Hello, hello, and welcome back to Everything SEO. So this week I wanted to cover how I kind of plan my clients' content because we've had kind of an influx of new clients this past month, which means I'm making a lot of content calendars, and we make these quarterly, so it's not like we have to go back month to month. We already know what we're going to be doing for the entire time that we are writing, or at least up to 3 months. I have clients who we work together all year long, so we just sit down each quarter, we plan out the content we want to create, and that's what we do. But I wanted to cover some of the things that I include in this content calendar, and why I include them, and why you should consider including them in your own. First of all, I also want to touch on why you should be making a content calendar to begin with. And it kind of ties into having an overall SEO strategy. So your content calendar is built around the keywords that you want to rank for and some topics that you want to cover. So this could be like common questions that you get from clients, from your audience, or even like news pieces that you know are coming up. So if you know there's an algorithm change that may happen in 3 months, because Google kind of gives us a heads up on when we should expect like changes, and other times not as planned. But so I can typically have a few weeks or even a month or so to kind of get that on my content calendar so that I know that I need to make this content at that point. It also helps to have something so you're not like, I need to write a blog post today. And then you're like, okay, but what do I write about? And your content calendar, for me, is pretty strict. I like to stick so both me and my clients know what's coming up. But for you, if you're doing this for yourself, you can absolutely switch around your content. Just make sure that you're making the same content. So if you have 12 blog posts, but the next blog post, you're like, I don't really want to write this today. Swap it for one that's 2 weeks from now or at the end of the 3 month period. And then just move the one that you're working on right now to that spot. It's very easy. Don't stress it. Like, it's not super strict, just as long as you kind of hit it eventually in this like little time period. So there are 7 things that I include in my content calendar that I think you should as well. So the very first thing that you want to pick for your content calendar is going to be your keyword, your primary keyword. And the reason being is because this is going to influence kind of everything else. This is what your content is going to center around and how you're going to pick, say, your secondary keywords, which are the second thing you want to include in your content calendar. And you only need, I would say, about 3 to 4 secondary keywords. If you get too many, then you're going to be stressfully trying to like add these in wherever you can. Where if you only have 3 to 4, it's not nearly as stressful and you can get these where you want them. And it'll feel pretty natural if you pick the right ones. All right, number 3 is going to be your title. I always say plan out your blog post title, and this can be your SEO title versus your like what people are going to see on your website, because you can specify a difference. You can specify a specific SEO title versus what people, like when they actually get on your website, what it says there. So I always say like, be super fun and personable on your website, but be very clear and concise with your SEO title and just make sure that keywords be included, because 2 different audiences. So people who are coming like through socials or something to straight to your website or to a link that you drop are different, or at least a little different. Like they're all in like your sphere, your community. But the people who are coming straight from Google need a little bit more information that's like clear, concise, and when they, so that they know when they're clicking it, they're going to get the answer that they want, or it's going to solve the issue they're trying to solve. And it's not going to be like a waste of their time. Like they want to make sure that your article that is on Google is what they need. And it's going to help your SEO too. All right. The next thing I include is a summary outline. And as you're doing your summary outline, you'll see, you'll like start thinking about the next 3 things. And I say summary or outline because it's kind of like a personal preference. So the way that I do it is we do a summary, which includes kind of like a general idea of what I want to talk about. If we're covering multiple points, so like how we're doing in this episode today, where I was like, there's 7 things in your content calendar, I would put out those 7 things in the summary so that I already know, like, these are the points I want to hit. And occasionally, if it's relevant, specifically for client stuff, not necessarily my own, but if they have content or if you have content that you're like, this would be like, I need to go back and think about this. So if you have a really good Instagram post or you did a podcast episode and you feel like you can grab some points from this to add into this blog post, link it in your summary outline. The reason I say outline though is I really do think you should separate these steps. But if you're like, I want to go ahead and outline these posts while I'm here, go ahead and do it. Do your headers, do a little blurb, or give a little like point about what you want to cover in there. It can just make planning your content calendar a little bit more time consuming. And sometimes I like to kind of batch the work that I do. So I don't want to spend a huge amount of time just staring at one thing. So it makes sense for me to do a summary, and then when I get to the actual writing portion, to do the outline. Also, as you get used to doing more blog content, you'll understand structure a little bit more. You'll understand what you like to do, what you don't like to do, which means that the outline, if you created your outlines when you first did your content calendar, you may not feel aligned or feel like they actually cover what you want to cover when you get to the writing portion. So you might just scrap it anyways, and then you've wasted all that time. And it just makes the whole process feel a little bit harder. All right. And then so these last 3 things that I said you're going to kind of start thinking about while you're writing your summary is your CTA, your call to action, which I like to call that your hard sell or your product to pitch, your soft sell, and then backlinks too. So this is before I make this confusing, let's take it step by step. So the first one I was talking about was your call to action or product to pitch, or AKA your hard sell, however you want to reference this. I don't like to always say hard sell though, because for some people, it's not directly a sell. It's just a call to action on what can they do next. So this could be joining your Facebook group. This could be buying your course. This could be working with you on a specific offer. This could be your VIP day. This could be your free resource. Whatever you want the ultimate action to be at the end of your blog post. And normally this is kind of like embedded in your content. So whatever relates most to the content, that's going to be your call to action. And I like to go ahead and map this out. That way I know while I'm writing what our end goal is going to be. So if this is a nurturing blog post, then I know that at the end of this, I'm going to pitch something free. So I want to keep that in mind. Whereas if this is going to pitch your course, I want to make sure that I'm hitting some of those pain points that your course hits. That way, when we get to the product to pitch or the call to action, your audience is more aligned with it, like already thinking about it. And if they do click through to your sales page, they're already on the same page. And I made a post about this on Instagram the other day, but if you are a client of mine, I do actually take copy from your sales pages if we are talking about the same product or offer in your blog post. And that's because messaging should be the same across the board. So if you're writing content for yourself, you should absolutely go back to your original material and reference it. So if you have a sales page and you're like, this is a really good sales page, it hits everything you need to hit. And if you're not sure, like, before you make a blog post about a product, you should absolutely focus on the sales page or how you want to be. And there are some really cool resources out there for that. So you like don't go out there and say, I don't have the budget for a professional copywriter right now, and go try and hire a professional copywriter. There are some like resources for you to DIY it and have some really good like messaging to pull over. I personally love Kaylee from Reveal Studio Co. Her stuff is so good. So if you need help with like the actual sales page messaging and stuff to pull over for your blog post, she's got some really good templates for that, and I'll link them down below. But anyway, so pulling that messaging over so you're like keeping everything in line with like your brand. The next thing is going to be like your soft sell. So a soft sell is not like a, hey, buy this product. in the blog post, it's kind of like a soft mention or a link to it. So if your product or like your freebie or whatever you want to consider your soft sell, it can absolutely be something that's free or not even technically like a product. So your Facebook group. But it relates to what you're talking about in the text. So say I'm writing a paragraph or you're planning, you're like in this blog post, there could be a paragraph or a quick mention of finding a community that can support you. And maybe you have a Facebook community. You're going to link your Facebook community there. And that's what's going to go in your little soft sells. That is going to be your community. So that's what I mean, soft sells. And you get multiple soft sells per blog post. But the shorter the post, kind of the less soft sells you want to have, because you don't want to feel like you're always selling. So I always say, like, if it's 500 words, keep it to like one soft sell and a one call to action. If you get a little bit longer, like, you can add some soft sells here and there. And it also depends on the soft sell. So you can do your community and then a resource, a free resource, and then a product. But don't do like three products back to back unless like that's the sole purpose of the blog post. And it's just these little nuances to consider when you're, that's why I added into your content calendar though, because it's something that you want to go ahead and start thinking about. And then when you go to actually write, you already have these in your mind and they're already mapped out for you. So the very last thing is backlinks too. This is number 7. I actually talked about this in not this last episode, but the episode before. It was internal linking. And it kind of, when you plan out your content, and the reason we do quarterly content is because content clusters are key. You want and need your, like, your content to relate to each other. They need to be supporting each other. So if you're, you know, writing about podcasts, like, you should have multiple blog posts regarding podcasts. You shouldn't make a podcasting blog post and then an Instagram blog post, which has nothing to do with podcasting. And then what about your favorite coffee mugs? Like, none of those relate really, like, obviously they may all be things that you know about, but they don't really relate in a sense for Google. So for example, you might, instead of doing those three random things, if you want to focus on podcasting, maybe you do how to find time to record a podcast. And then number 2, your like next blog post might be how to plan your podcast episodes. Number 3 might be how to find guests for your podcast. So keeping them relating to each other, because those all have opportunities to kind of like backlink. That's what I'm talking about for backlinks too. Like, you just want to show and go ahead and have in your content calendar where your content that's coming up, this content that you're planning, can interact with each other. So you should absolutely, and one of your favorite project management tools is to sit down and build a content calendar. This could be, you could even put it in your notebook if you want to, if that's like how you function. That's totally cool. Put it in your notebook. If you're a Google Docs person, put it in your Google Docs. Do it as a bullet list. But if you want to kind of get the most out of it, I recommend using Google Sheets or Airtable, just because they kind of have like that graph functionality. So you can have the multiple columns and put the different aspects of like what you're going to include in your blog post in there. But if you want to take a shortcut, I do offer my Airtable content calendar that I use for my clients and I use for myself to help you plan out quarterly, yearly, or even monthly content. And that's going to be down in the show notes if you want to go ahead and grab it. It is my favorite thing in existence. I do make regular updates to it, so if there is ever an update, you will have access to that if you do grab it. But otherwise, that is all for today. If you have any questions about like what to include in your content calendar or how to start planning it out, feel free to send me a DM on Instagram or snag me on Threads or just send me an email through my website. Like, just let me know. I have no issues with answering those cues because I know it can be such an overwhelming task to take on. But that's it for today. It was a pleasure to speak to you, and I can't wait to talk to you next week. Bye. As always, I hope you are able to learn at least one new thing today and how you can apply it to your own business or blog. Thanks for listening to this episode of Everything SEO. Don't forget to hit follow so you don't miss the next episode. It's a goodie. And check the show notes for everything we talked about today. And come connect with me on Instagram at kamamama.co if you have any questions or thoughts you want to share. Talk soon.